use multimodal counseling and education strategies. Taking a multimodal approach to teaching and learning during financial counseling means that people learn best when they are kept engaged and are active participants in their learning, which requires switching things up to suit the learner's current needs. Keeping people engaged includes breaking up long educational sessions with breaks and tailoring what, when, and how content is taught so each of the following is true. The information or experience is relevant to the client's needs. The client believes the information or experience is relevant to them, they have buy-in. The client believes they are capable of learning the information or gaining the experience. Taking the time with a client to address the what's in it for me part is important work that should not be rushed. It involves knowing your audience in terms of their personal perspectives and resources. However, just because something is relevant to the client's needs does not mean the client will recognize or accept it. If a client is not ready to hear something, it is better to revisit it later when they are ready. For belief in the ability to do something, this may require a shift in mindset, as will be discussed shortly, but it also means setting attainable goals. People often quit doing the hard work necessary to progress on their goals when they decide they are incapable of achieving them. The client needs to be an active participant in their own learning. For example, rather than being a passive learner, the client needs to be encouraged to be productive. For example, a client can be prompted to put explanations in their own words. Get the client to share stories or analogies that connect to something they have just learned. This process satisfies important requirements for a learning session. The client will learn and remember new information and ideas more effectively. The counselor will have an idea of what the client learned, not just what the client was told. What a counselor provides to a client through teaching and what the client actually picks up are two different things. Observing them reiterate the learning in their own words or put the lessons into practice is seeing that the client actually learned something. The process has additional benefits. The counselor may get more insight into the client's background and manner of thinking. The client may have a self-revelation that they already have some relevant experience. The client will be prompted to make the associations themselves, that is, connect the dots, rather than being handed the answers. This is called inductive teaching, which is far more effective because the client generated the answers themselves. Provide opportunities for clients to use what they have just learned in real time, for example, by explaining their understanding of a concept in their own words or taking notes themselves. This is vital to effective teaching and learning. If a client starts asking questions about something already covered, avoid telling the client that this was already covered. It will make the client participate less, not more. Multimodal counseling and education strategies involve helping clients develop a growth mindset while abandoning self-limiting thought patterns. Using active learning strategies, noticing a client's cognitive load and using learning modes to suit the content, not the learner. Growth mindset. A growth mindset is the concept that everyone is able to grow and learn. The skills a client has today do not predict the skills the client may develop in the future. Furthermore, a growth mindset challenges the traditional learning concept that frames people as unchangeable, for example, moving from, I am not a math person, that is some inherent quality, to I haven't had a lot of practice doing math yet, just a gap in experience. Note the yet in this sentence. It is a simple way to help people internalize a growth mindset. Rather than being a self-diagnosis of a condition, it is a statement of fact about one's past. Applying a growth mindset in this way is an example of cognitive reframing, which is defined as a psychological technique that involves identifying and changing thought patterns to view something from a different perspective. Encouraging clients to adopt a growth mindset is a particularly effective way for counseling clients to approach their goals because it invites and inspires change. Rather than attaching unhelpful money personalities or habits to who they are, a growth mindset makes people see change as possible. For example, if a client says, I just am not a person who saves money. I'm a spender through and through, encourage them to restate this to themselves instead as I haven't had much practice saving yet. It is still true, but implies no limits. From there, the counselor can help the client attach money habits to goals. Here are the ways that I am going to start saving money. In other words, what is the client's learning goal and what effort will they make to achieve the goal? Goals and effort are the things the client can control. As Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. The mindset matters. That said, belief in the ability to grow needs to be directed toward attainable goals. Example, a growth mindset can even be applied to how clients think of certain financial concepts. For example, in Black financial culture, author Michael G. Thomas Jr. says he and his partner call their emergency fund their get-to fund because by being prepared for the worst, they get to do things like take vacations. He says instead of focusing on the endless list of why we can't, let's change the narrative to consider what might be possible, regardless of how small that course of action might be. Active learning strategies. Active learning strategies include retrieval practice, spacing, and interleaving. Retrieval practice. Retrieval practice is the need to step away from learning to create the opportunity to actively remember it later. After learning a new term or concept, it can be helpful to allow the client to forget it for a time. A change in focus or slight break from the discussion of a new concept gives an opportunity for clients to forget that information. Later, when revisiting the concept, the client's effort to go back and remember or retrieve the information is the act of learning. Every time this occurs, retention and learning are enhanced. This is contradictory to the beliefs many of us have of what it means to study hard, evoking someone cramming for a test the night before. In this case, there is no opportunity to remember the material because there is no chance to forget. There is no remembering without forgetting. The best way to know a client will remember something is by assisting them in practicing the act of remembering. Spacing. Spacing is the importance of having some space between learning and retrieval of information. Counselors who understand the importance of retrieval will see the value in revisiting a topic after allowing for some space, whether during a session in which they shift focus regularly or between sessions. Rather than covering an idea once and checking it off the list, it can be helpful to remember to come back to it again in different capacities. Space between these learning moments allows for forgetting. It also helps keep people interested, including the counselor. Interleaving. Interleaving is switching between smaller chunks of content or focus areas during learning sessions rather than sticking with one subject for long periods. Research shows that interleaving helps with active learning. Switch it up to provide variety. For example, a discussion of how to budget for part of a session might be paired with a discussion of how to select a good investment professional. Revisiting and recalling key points from each subject at the end of the session or a later session means that both subjects have a chance to be retrieved. The learning will be more effective for each subject. Switching may feel like it takes effort, and it does, but the effort is what creates active learning. This also brings in the concepts of primacy and recency effects. Primacy, the first thing heard, and recency, the last thing heard, are often the things that are most easily recalled. These effects are reinforced when the counselor deliberately provides or asks the client to provide important focus points when revisiting key ideas. Ensuring that the most important takeaways from a session are not just restricted to the middle of the session gives the client the best chance to remember these key points. What they do with this information is still up to them. Retrieval practice, spacing, and interleaving also create an opportunity to review the basic parts of a concept and then teach the more advanced parts later. Clients can only learn the advanced parts after internalizing the more basic ones. While a teacher may teach the basic and advanced parts of a concept together, the advanced parts are less likely to get absorbed the first time because the learner is still working on internalizing the basics. The student is not ready to hear the advanced parts. When using strategies like spacing or interleaving to revisit the concept, the learner will work to remember the basic parts and consequently be more receptive to learning the more advanced ones. Keep in mind the more advanced parts will also need a chance to be recalled at a later time. Notice cognitive load. Noticing cognitive load means recognizing when a client has reached a limit and matching demands on them to their current limits. Cognitive load is the amount of mental energy, focus, and slash or attention something requires. For example, an experienced driver may be able to merge onto a freeway with little effort while having a hands-free phone call. The same activity for a new driver can be a sizable cognitive load, as they must remember to check their mirrors, regulate their speed, turn on their blinker, etc. It requires more effort because it is new. The student driver does not have the automatic responses developed only by experience. Understanding how demanding one is being on a client's cognitive load requires an appreciation of the client's previous experiences and knowledge. Financial counselors need to know their audience. Defining the word credit, once as a quick clarification at the beginning of a discussion, and then using it several more times during the session may work fine for a client who already understands the word. For a client who is new to the idea, however, it can be helpful for the counselor to be aware of how many new terms they are putting out there at once. While the client understands and remembers the definition of a new term, more work and effort is needed to retrieve and process a newer term each time it comes up than would be the case for someone just recalling these terms and definitions from previous knowledge. A counselor who does not consider the cognitive load demands they are making on a client may unwittingly create a situation where the client feels overwhelmed or like they are drinking from a fire hose. The new information can turn into a jumble of alphabet soup. In the opposite extreme, if the counselor is taking the time to slow down, revisit, and carefully illustrate terms or concepts that the client clearly already knows, the client may feel that they are being treated like a child who is being spoon-fed. In this case, the cognitive load is too low to be challenging or interesting. Cognitive load is also affected by other stressors such as being hungry, angry, lonely, tired, depressed, or anxious. Learning is not a linear process and people are not machines. A client will often learn more in a few focus minutes when they are ready to focus than by spending hours trying to learn while less focused. Visual, auditory, and kinesthetic modes. While the primary focus of considering visual, auditory, and kinesthetic modes used to be about how people developed preferential ways of learning, current thinking in this area has shifted. Trying to find someone's best learning mode has not been shown to promote effective learning. A person identified as one type of learner may despair to use other modes, which could actually harm learning. It can facilitate learning to find the best way to present the given type of information based on the nature of the information itself. Use multiple modes in a given educational session. Use as many modes as possible. This can help keep people's interest from flagging and increase the chance that a given learning concept will be internalized. It also allows for repetition without it feeling repetitive. Here is information on these types, visual. Some information is best presented visually in a graph, a flow chart, or by watching a video or interactive animation. For example, it may be easier to show a client the time value of money concept using a website that graphs out potential long-term returns from a safe rate of return versus a higher rate of return side by side. In another example, during an interview, a counselor could draw a picture to help reflect what the counselor believes the client is saying. The goal is not great art, but eliciting feedback. Auditory. Auditory involves hearing and includes conversations, interviewing, listening, and reading. Other senses are also involved in reading. Forming a positive relationship with a client and explaining many financial concepts will best occur through question and answer during client sessions. Handouts and pamphlets may help. Some clients will have literacy and slash or language gaps to consider. Kinesthetic. Kinesthetic is hands-on learning. This could be part of an action plan or experiment, such as trying to live within a given budget for a month or using cash instead of a credit card for a week. Kinesthetic learning can be used in a session too, such as by assisting the client to build a budget themselves during a session. Let the client do the writing or typing. Allow trial and error to occur rather than being too directive. The client is learning to change themselves in this way rather than just being passive. This will feel less efficient since there will be mistakes and restarts, but it makes the learning stick far better because it generates curiosity. Trade efficiency for effectiveness. Exhibit 1-5 and Exhibit 1-6 show examples of how a picture can reinforce a financial concept. In addition to discussing interest on debt or interest from an investment using financial examples, perhaps the counselor can also add a visual to aid understanding. In the first example, a giant snowball is rolling down a hill. The principal on the debt is the original snowball, while the interest on the debt is making that snowball much larger and more menacing. Exhibit 1-5. Using a visual representation to show impact of interest on debt, a snowball growing as it goes downhill. Source, based on image and keys to effective teaching slash learning. Financial counselors as teachers and learners, FCPE training course. See bibliography. In the second example, the counselor is working to show how a client can get interest from an investment they are making. If they make an investment, the principal invested is like a chicken. If the chicken lays eggs and these eggs are eaten, this is like getting simple interest that one takes out and spends as it is earned. If the chicken lays eggs and they become chicks and eventually chickens, this is like compound interest that is added to the principal, increasing the investment over time. Exhibit 1-6. Illustrating simple and compound interest from an investment, principal as a chicken and interest as eggs or more chickens. Are these popular modes the only modes? What about visualization, meaning imagining? Visualization is a powerful tool for helping clients to consider alternatives in a way that is an internal emotional experience. A miracle question is an example of a visualization that asks clients to imagine a different future or different possibilities, such as imagining one's lifestyle and daily routine in retirement given a certain amount of retirement savings, or for shorter term goals, asking for a raise and practicing responses to hypothetical conversation points. It can help not only with discovering authentic goals, but also with what might block goals. For example, a counselor could ask a client to visualize the things that could occur that cost more than the client earns in a month, example car breakdown, medical emergency, plus the burden an unprepared client might need to place on family. This could help them visualize how secure they would feel if they had emergency savings or insurance. Bringing this all together, a counselor considers cognitive load and uses active learning strategies, such as spacing and interleaving, to relieve pressures on clients as they learn. For example, when logic and calculating ratios are not helping a given client because they have a high cognitive load in this area, rather than accepting the client's statement that they are not a math person, the counselor uses reflection to help the client reframe what they said, as they have not had much experience doing ratios yet, but perhaps revisiting it later or in some other way would help. They then use interleaving to switch to a different subject or perhaps a different type of brain work, such as visualization, imagining. In another example, if a client looks at a pie chart and says it is confusing, perhaps the counselor uses another type of chart or a different mode. The counselor sets outcome goals in the format of the client was able to ensure that the assessment is of actual client learning rather than counselor teaching.